I'm Catherine Lanfer here with Amy Holmes. We're in for John Hockenberry this morning. Hey, Amy, the Obama administration seems to be backing away from a public option for health care reform. Listen to Secretary of Health and Human Services, Kathleen Sebelius. She's speaking to CNN's John King about what we're likely to see coming from the Senate Finance Committee.
They've been more focused on a not-for-profit co-op as a competitor as opposed to a straight government-run program. And I think what's important is choice and competition. And I'm convinced at the end of the day the plan will have both of those. But that is not the essential element.
Okay, you're from Washington. What is she saying there?
Not the essential element. Interesting tag phrase there. Is it backpedaling? Is it a trial balloon? I guess we'll see who gets mad.
Oh, let's go to Julie Mason. She's a White House reporter for the Washington Examiner. She's also a good friend of the show. All right, Julie, you heard that sound. What change does this say to you about healthcare reform?
Well, what it says to me is they don't have the votes, especially in the Senate. They got to drop the public option. And we've been hearing this for about 2 weeks. The administration's been floating this, well, maybe we can do without the public option trial balloon. It really came to a head over this past weekend.
Julie, that's interesting that you would say they don't have the votes. Is this actually a way of them trading votes to be able to get some Republican votes on board?
Yes, Republicans, Amy, and also moderate Democrats. The moderate Democrats are the ones who have been pushing to drop this provision. So it really mollifies them if the administration will back off from it. Of course, the liberal wing of the Democratic Party is furious about this. Howard Dean, especially, is very angry. He wants to see the public option.
I thought at one point the president was saying that he could do this without Republican votes. So what kind of turnaround is it that suddenly now he's decided he needs both moderates and the Republicans?
Well, it's just a bit of Washington pragmatism, especially because he hasn't been able to keep his own party together on this bill. He hasn't, they've been so fractured, and so he needs some moderate Republicans to come on board, but especially his own party, who have not backed him the way that he had hoped or the way that he needs in order to get this passed.
And let's fold in Dr. Michael Pramenko. He is a family physician in Grand Junction, Colorado, where, of course, President Obama had his town meeting this weekend. Dr. Pramenko, what change? I mean, do you see this as a tactic of sending up a trial balloon, or do you think the fact that he was speaking in Grand Junction is signaling, yeah, this is the way we're going to go?
Yeah, I mean, the timing on this, you go back a couple of weeks when we started hearing rumblings that he was coming here, and you had to figure, okay, why is he coming to a county in western Colorado that voted 2-1 for the other guy and has a system that's set up privately with a nonprofit system? Why is he coming to such a place? And after what happened the last 24 hours, where we heard this quote, and then we heard the surrogates on television stating similar things, I think this was strategic, and I definitely think that they saw the writing on the wall and made some decisions here.
You've touched on this earlier, but tell me again, what is it that you guys do that the rest of us aren't doing in Grand Junction?
We have various organizations, most of them nonprofit, that for years have been working collaboratively with a lot of cooperation to attain a system that's very high quality at low cost. And this was highlighted on June 1st in New Yorker, and now more recently, 3 days ago, by the New America Foundation, which released a paper specifically on Grand Junction.
So, Julie, and, oh, pardon me, keep going, Michael.
No, thank you. It's essentially a nonprofit-run system that's obtaining many of the goals that people want to see at a national level.
So, Julie Mason, as a White House reporter, was this trip planned, or how did this get on the president's agenda? Why now?
Well, you know, they've been doing a bunch of these town hall events, and usually they're very, you know, it's Obama supporters lobbing softballs like, how can we help you pass health care reform? And they put a lot of people in the audience who are very sympathetic or who are even Obama volunteers. They went to Grand Junction and also to New Hampshire and Montana in order not to provoke a confrontation, but to sort of mix it up a little bit and to show the president sort of nimbly defending his program from people who didn't like it and don't like him. And they think that showcases him very well. It also brings up the temperature a little bit. All the passion in this issue is on the other side.
Well, in
and
fact,
they wanted to show the president having a little passion on this issue.
And let's take a listen to him.
What you can't do is start saying things like, we want to set up death panels to pull the plug on grandma. I mean, come on. I just lost my grandmother last year. I know what it's like to watch somebody you love who's aging deteriorate and have to struggle with that.
Wow. Now, is that a switch in tactics?
Completely for the president. Yes, he's been, up until now, he's been giving sort of cool professorial answers, trying to be sort of soothing and instructive about health care reform. And meanwhile, the other side has been very passionate, very vocal, emotional. We've seen people sobbing in town halls. So here comes the president. He's talking about his grandmother. He's getting very personal. It doesn't come naturally to him to be like that. He really has to dig down deep to get this sort of high dudgeon going. It's not reflexive. He's not a reflexive politician in that way. So This is a new message for him, and it really brings up the passion, and I think it really gets people's attention.
Dr. Pramenko, did you see that kind of passion from the president in Grand Junction?
Yeah, it was really quite a thrill to see him speak and a mastery of this topic. I've been involved with health policy now for 4 or 5 years, and he does a better job with this than many of the policy wonks as far as explaining and describing what needs to happen, not only from a personal level, but from an economic, financial level.
Now, well, let's hear what happens when someone decides to tangle with the president. This is Zach Lane. He's a student at the University of Colorado in Boulder, asking a question.
How in the world can a private corporation providing insurance compete with an entity that does not have to worry about making a profit, does not have to pay local property taxes? They do not have to, they're not subject to local regulations. How can a company compete with that?
All right, Michael, how can a company compete with that?
Well, I certainly think that there's still an open debate on that. You know, we can't debate about euthanasia and death panels. Those things are ridiculous arguments. But there can be an honest debate, and the president said that, about whether or not that's going to happen. I believe that we can get an option that is nonprofit and doesn't have to pay some of those taxes and compete with these for-profit companies. And this is a really important point. If I can take a moment to speak to folks out there that are really, really angry and disappointed about this possibility coming down the pike, if that's okay. If the current legislation continues to offer guarantees that pre-existing conditions can be used that can't be used to deny coverage, if it ends the practice of insurance caps and provides a good package that's, you know, that includes preventative health care and some of the robust elements that we need in a basic life, in a basic plan, what more above and beyond that can we get from a government plan that we can't get from nonprofits as an option or co-ops as an option? That's really important to think about. If the legislation does include those guarantees, we might be able to get 95% of what folks out there want. That's really an important question to ask ourselves.
And so it sounds like the takeaway question here is, you know, how much of healthcare reform can we get done?
Yes, absolutely. And I think Grand Junction is proof, absolute proof, that we can do this through nonprofits and we can do it in a quality fashion.
So, Julie, go ahead.
Again, most people out there really are concerned that they're going to still be able to, you know, the insurance companies are still going to be able to walk all over them. If that is included in other elements of this legislation, then the importance of having a government-run option really gets whittled down to a very little sliver if it's included in other parts of the legislation, which, as of now, it appears like it is.
Okay. Dr. Pramenko, family physician in Grand Junction, Colorado, I want to thank you for joining us. Julie Mason, I want to round up things with you. What kind of horse trading are we going to see going on this week when it comes to the public option and trying to get those moderate Democrats and Republicans?
Well, we're not going to see that much. It's going on largely behind the scenes. I think what we're really going to see when Congress comes back in September, we're going to see a lot of horse trading. And what I fear is that this bill is going to become so deeply compromised that it's not really going to help anyone. So that's a big fear, and that's something the White House is very concerned about.
I was just going to say that's something that the Democrats are really concerned about.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, quick, the takeaway question for the week, what should we be looking at when it comes to health care?
How far the White House is willing to compromise what they said they wanted. I mean, here we see the public option. That was the one thing that was non-negotiable, and now it appears to be on the table.
Oh, nothing's non-negotiable, Julie. You know
it's
that.
Washington.
Thanks
cynics,
a lot.
Cynics.
That's Julie Mason, White House reporter for the Washington Examiner. Of course, we're going to be continuing to talk about health care all this morning. We'll be debunking some myths, and we'll also be talking about that horse trait. Everything's negotiable.
Everything's negotiable in Washington.
Washington, D.C.
You know that.
Also want to remind you, we have a takeaway question for you. What is non-negotiable when it comes to your school shopping? What is negotiable? What is your kid not going back to school with? We'd like to know. 8778-MY-TAKE or mytake@thetakeaway.org.